Church. Before we dive into the Word this morning, I just have to tell you how proud I was to be a part of First Presbyterian Church yesterday. As many of you know, yesterday was hashtag Fulton Street Party. The huge celebration right here a few blocks from our sanctuary. And it was so fun as I walked with my family down Fulton Street and back. Every single block, we saw somebody from First Pres there, either volunteering, wearing their First Pres t-shirt, spending their money in local businesses, having a good time, bringing their neighbors. We had a few that wore need prayer ? Badges, and some great stories of just how God intervened and worked through that time of prayer. It was so fun to just see you be present and in that place and celebrate with our city and just say we are for this place and we are excited about what God is doing. And we just know that the more God does to revitalize the downtown, it's always good for First Presbyterian Church Fresno, and we want to be a part of it. So way to go. Great job. I hope you had a good time. Yeah, praise the Lord. It was so fun. So especially if you volunteered, Diane came home smelling a little woo after the beer garden. But it wasn't her fault. It wasn't her fault. So great to be a part of that. And let me just also just give one more plug to our membership class. In your bulletin, it's called Membership 2.0. And we just call it that because there's a membership class that's running on Sunday mornings, but this is one where you can just come in two afternoons and catch all the same material. It starts today at 3 o'clock. It's going to be a rip-roaring time. If this is your church and you haven't yet made that commitment to say, yeah, I want a covenant with this church and an agreement that I want to be a member, then I encourage you to come and see what that means. Today we'll be talking about that on campus here at 3 o'clock. Hope to see you there. But today we're launching into another of what we've done all fall, which is like these little short sermon series. I hope that hasn't bothered you. And today the sermon series is one that's going to connect over this week and next week with the 500th anniversary of a time in the church that we call the Reformation. And we call it the Reformation because of what happened 500 years ago and the years that followed there. On October 31st, in the year 1517, priest and scholar Martin Luther posted 95 theological points onto a wall and onto a door so that everyone could see. It was like he put it up on his Facebook wall so that everyone could see. And his post was an invitation. If you read the first line of his 95 points, it says that he's inviting people to dialogue and to debate, to talk about these points. But it became so much more because God used that in that place to create and catalyze a massive movement of reform in the Roman Catholic Church all over Europe. And in that movement of reform, things that we likely take for granted in either our practice or our theology or in our experience of being the church today were points of huge debate and actually points of suffering and in the end points of great division. And my ultimate goal in these next 2 weeks is not to teach you all kinds of interesting facts about the Reformation, but I do encourage you to learn about it. I do think there are incredibly important lessons for today's church from that season in Christian history that was both bright and dark. But what my goal is today is, and for these next 2 weeks, is to call us back to what I believe was best at the core of all that was good about the Reformation. And that was a desire for the church to recenter itself on Christ as he is portrayed in the scriptures. And that was a desire for the church, in other words, to honestly lean into a prayer that we see of David at the end of Psalm 139. When David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." It was a call for a reformed heart, for the church at its core to be renewed and refocused on the good news of Jesus and of his mission into the world. And so for these next 2 weeks, our goal is to examine our own hearts individually and in our heart corporately as a church, and to open ourselves to God's examination so that he can see if there's any offensive way in us, and that so that he can lead us in a way, in the way everlasting. And it's an incredibly important endeavor, because it's so easy for us, isn't it? It's so easy for us to get off center. And when we get off center, we endanger the witness that God calls us to be in this season, and of his kingdom in the world. So to launch into that examination, we're going to focus today on just one simple little verse that I believe everybody can memorize by the time the sermon is done. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and I encourage you to turn there. It's in a section that we call the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus starts the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 with a series of blessings. And the sixth blessing in our scripture for the morning is something you've already heard today in the kids' message. And I want us to focus on that today. So hear now God's holy word in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God." Can you say that with me? Let's say it together. Ready? Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. I messed it up. Sorry, I've already messed it up. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise him. All right. So this little opening verse, or this little verse, comes out of this opening section of the Sermon on the Mount. And this opening section we often call the Beatitudes. Does it say Beatitudes at the heading in your Bible? That, by the way, is a word that I've only used in church. I've never used Beatitudes when I'm walking down the street. But so it points, though, to something that's important in these opening lines. Jesus starts his sermon, which is especially an important teaching in Matthew's gospel, with a statement of blessing for those who have a certain attitude or a certain status of the heart or a certain status of their inner being. And so we often call them the Beatitudes, and then we seek to make our attitudes align with these Beatitudes. But I like to call them the blessings. And sometimes we think of these Beatitudes as statements of fact. And of course, they are true. But I think Jesus is actually doing something here more than just stating something to know. I believe that Jesus is giving a blessing. For example, at the end of our services, what do? We give a benediction. That's another word for a blessing. And certainly what we say in that benediction is true, hopefully. But more than just stating that something that's true, I ask you to actively receive, to open your hands as just a sign of receiving what I am giving to you by the authority that's been given me as a leader of this congregation. In the same way, I believe that Jesus here in these Beatitudes is giving a blessing. He's doing something. And that's why I think the word blessed is a good translation, better than sometimes some of your translations might say happy. Happy are the pure in heart. I think blessed is better because it's more active. And because of that, I prefer saying something that's even more active. I prefer saying blessings on. Blessings on. Jesus is pronouncing a blessing. He's saying blessings on you. I am with you. That's what a blessing means. I am for you. And that's what Jesus is doing here. And so in that, before this crazy hard teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, we find God's grace. We find God's blessing. His grace precedes his demand. His grace always precedes, comes before his demand. And so in the sixth blessing, Jesus says, blessings on the pure in heart, for they will see God. And when he says that, I think it's an affirmation that we actually see all over Scripture, right? Something that we see very consistently in Scripture. In 1 Samuel 15, when the prophet Samuel comes to King Saul, he says to him, to obey is better than sacrifice. In other words, he's saying to submit our lives to the Lord in obedience is better than simply going through the religious motions to look holy. And it's an affirmation of what the Lord speaks to the prophet Samuel after Saul blows it and he's looking for a new king. And Samuel's there in Jesse's house and he sees the oldest son and he thinks, surely this good looking, handsome guy is the new king. But God says this to him in 1 Samuel he says, or in 2 Samuel, he says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? The Lord looks at the heart. Later, or sometime in there, David writes Psalm 139 when he prays, search me, O God, and know my heart. It's all throughout the Old Testament. And then it even connects with Jesus's primary charge against the religious leaders of the time. In Matthew 23, Jesus says to them, woe to you. That's bad news. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but the inside, they are full of greed and self-indulgence. So all that to say, one of the main themes that is clearly present in all of Scripture is that God cares most about the attitude of our hearts, or about the core rather than the actions of our bodies. And don't get me wrong. God absolutely does care about the actions of our body. They absolutely matter, but they flow from the heart. Jesus says in Matthew 12, he says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So our hearts, our core being, are what matter most to God. So we know that the status of the heart is important to Jesus. And we know that from his blessing here in Matthew 5. And we know it from the whole of Scripture. Since it's important to him, therefore, it's important to us. And the way that he describes it here is by saying, blessed are the pure in heart. What does that mean? Think about that for just a minute. What does it mean to be pure in heart? Well, as we've already established, the heart that Jesus is talking about here is not the literal blood pumping organ in the center of your chest there, or near the center of your chest. Jesus is referring to the human center, the place of thinking and feeling and willing. That's why I've referenced that kind of our core being. And the word here for pure is pretty simple. It means clean. And particularly as it modifies the word heart, it means free from corrupt desire. Free from sin, free from guilt. It means that it's unstained, that it's blameless, that it's innocent, that it's clear. Yesterday at the 1210 study, Skip Lynn described it as a heart that is aligned with God's heart. And that's not too far off from Martin Luther's description. It's good to see what Martin Luther thinks during this time of year. Martin Luther wrote this in his commentary on this passage. He said this: what is meant by a pure heart is this, a heart that is watching and pondering what God says and replacing its own ideas with the Word of God. Let me read that again. What is meant by a pure heart is this, a heart that is watching and pondering what God says and replacing its own ideas with the Word of God. And from the Scripture, we see the things that get in the way of that, right? We see the things that get in the way of a pure heart. What gets in the way of a pure heart? Well, pride, that desire to make ourselves look good, or that desire to be self-centered gets in the way of a heart that's aligned with God. Disobedience, when we are purposefully, church, when we are purposefully disobeying what we know God has commanded us to do or not to do, that gets in the way of a heart submitting to the Word of God. Unforgiveness. Things that we've held on to against other people. Entitlement. That sense that we deserve special privileges or special treatment from God. Resentment. Lust. Shame. Apathy. These are the things that get in the way of having a pure heart. So I just want to pause here and ask you this really important question. What is the status of your heart today? Is your heart watching and pondering what God says and replacing your own ideas with the Word of God? Is your heart aligned with God's heart? What's the status of your heart today? It's a really important question, because Jesus says that the pure in heart will what? The pure in heart will see God. Now, some take that to just mean that they will see God in heaven in the future. And certainly that's true, but I believe it is both present and future. Martin Luther wrote this. He said, in scriptural language, to see his face means to recognize him correctly as a gracious and faithful father on whom you can depend for every good thing. Let me read that section again. In scriptural language, to see his face means to recognize him correctly as a gracious and faithful father on whom you can depend today for every good thing. He goes on to say that happens only through faith in Christ. And he says it's a wonderful thing. It's a treasure beyond every thought or wish to know that you are standing and living in right relation to God. So, seeing God means seeing God for who he really is in the salvation that he gives us through faith. And I believe also it is recognizing God at work in our midst so that we can give him glory. So when our hearts are pure, we more clearly see God as who he really is and in what he is really doing. And if that's true, then surely Jesus is right when he says, blessed are the pure in heart. How good is it to see God for who he really is and for what he is really doing? Because when we see God for who he really is, we can't help but respond. We can't help but worship. When we see God for what he's really doing, our hearts get drawn to participate and join him in that work. Blessed surely are the pure in heart. And if you're anything like me, then just thinking about that makes you want something. It makes you want a pure heart. Do you want a pure heart? Well, here's the thing. You can't just produce a pure heart on your own. There's not enough, you know, heart sanitizer that you can just... You can't try hard enough. As Martin Luther said, it happens only through faith in Christ. And that's exactly what Mary said the sanitizer was. Jesus came to set us free, church, from the things that get in the way of our hearts being pure. And that's good news. Yesterday at the First Press prayer team breakfast, which was great, we listened to a great song by Lauren Daigle, a Christian artist, makes music. The song is called Power to Redeem. And I just want you to listen to these words that Lauren sings that lead into the chorus. She says, no guilt competes with innocence crucified. No grave can hold what your grace has justified. With breath that brings the dead to life, with words that pierce the dark with light. Only by the blood are we set free. With mercy strong to carry shame and nail it to a tree, you alone hold the power to redeem. Beloved, hear the good news. There is no guilt and there is no sin that can compete with the work that Jesus did on the cross. There is no grave that can hold what God's grace has justified. Only by Jesus' blood shed on the cross are we free. His mercy is strong enough to take our shame and to take our guilt and all the things that get in the way of a pure heart. Jesus has the power to redeem. And when we put our faith in him, that's exactly what he does. Putting your faith in Jesus is the only way to a pure heart. If you're a person who's never done that, or if you're a person who has allowed the stuff of life, even your religious activity, to get in the way of that simple but profound truth, then I invite you today to put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus, and we do that through repentance and faith. Repentance and belief. And so this week, as you think about that simple blessing, I think you have it memorized by now. Blessed are the who? The pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I actually want to give you three other verses to meditate on this week to help you receive that pure heart that Jesus wants to give. I want to ask you to do something very specifically. So first, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 139. I very cleverly have already had it marked in my Bible, so I can get there very quickly. Psalm 139, in your pew Bible, it's page 975. And I'd love for you to just take note of this reference, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. At the end of Psalm 139 is a wonderful prayer of examination. I've already said it once in the sermon. And I encourage you this week to use this prayer of examination to let the Lord probe your heart and speak to you His truth. Here it is, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. The psalmist writes, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I encourage you to pray this prayer every day this week. Pray it while you're sitting down for your quiet time in the morning. Pray it while you're driving to work. Pray it while you're lying down for bed. Pray this prayer and then listen for what God might reveal to you, what God might speak to you. Next verse, flip to James. James chapter 4. It's toward the back of your Bible. In the pew Bible, it's page 1884. James chapter 4. After you've prayed Psalm 139 and you've listened and the Lord reveals things to you, then let this verse be a call to how you respond. James chapter 4, verse 8, he writes this, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So when the Lord reveals to you after praying Psalm 139, all the things that are keeping your heart from being pure, even if it's just one thing, meditate then on this verse from James. It's a call for repentance. Repentance doesn't mean hiding from God like Adam and Eve did in the garden after they disobeyed God. Repentance means coming near to God. Repentance is a beautiful thing because we confess our sin and ask Him again for His forgiveness, and God meets us in that place and His grace wins. His grace wins. I just pray that we would know the beauty of repentance, because it's a word we often associate with negative things. But repentance is a beautiful thing. And this verse, James 4:8, can be a verse that reminds you of what repentance looks like. Come near to God. He will come near to you. Purify our hearts before Him with repentance. Okay, finally, flip back a few pages to 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's in page 1854. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, then James 4:8, and now 2 Timothy 2:22. When we've laid our hearts before the Lord for examination, and then we've repented of our impurities, this verse kind of gives us the directive for the day going forward in His grace. 2 Timothy 2:22 says this, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So Paul encourages Timothy to run away from immature and evil desires and instead run toward righteousness and faith and love and peace. But not to do it alone. Did you catch that? He says, run toward those good things with the community who calls out to the Lord from a pure heart. And so that verse can just give you the directive for the day. So, beloved, this is what I encourage you to do. I encourage you to write down these three references. Maybe even get like a 3x5 card and write each of these verses out. And then every day this week, take 10 minutes and just meditate through those verses so that the Lord might give you a pure heart. Simply pray through them. First, our Psalm 139, 23, 24, James 4, 8, and 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Is that something that you're willing to do this week? Imagine if everybody in the church was taking time this week to just make sure our hearts are right before God and asking Him to make clear to us the things that He would want to reveal, and then coming to Him in repentance and then going out in that grace with a mindset and a heart to run towards righteousness together. So if you're willing to do that this week, would you just kind of nod your head to me, like as a little sign of commitment, like, yeah, I'll do that. I'm in. All right, I see you. And as you do it, as you do that, do it so that you might experience afresh, and maybe even for the first time, this wonderful blessing from the Lord. Blessings on the pure in heart, for they will see God. And as you experience that blessing that the Lord gives, as God always wants to do, may the thing that God does in you be the thing that God does then through you, so that others may experience that blessing as well. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this little blessing from Jesus in the midst of a list of blessings. But we thank you as we think about the Reformation. Lord, we want to be people who have been reformed and are being reformed by your Spirit according to your word. And so today we pray that you would purify our hearts. Lord, we just I just pray that everyone would agree with me in this prayer that we just surrender to you our hearts. And we ask that you would be glorified, that you would examine us, that you would see if there's any offensive way in us individually, but also corporately as a church, so that we might confess those things to you individually and corporately, and that we might receive the forgiveness that comes through Christ. And then, God, that we together would be people who flee, run away from the evil desires of our youth, the immature desires that get in the way of us and you, and run toward righteousness and faith and peace and love together, so that we might be the people who experience that blessing of a pure heart, who see God, and then participate with you, God, in the work that you're doing in the world for your redeeming transformation. We pray it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And everyone who agreed said, amen. Amen. Would you stand for our final benediction? And I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to ask Trevor and Joni Joy to come on up. I know you're in the back, Trevor and Joni, and I know you're in the middle, but would you come up here for a minute? Trevor and Joni have been a part of our congregation for many years. How many years, guys? This blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His perfect peace today and every day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Go in peace.